welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. Hopefully you can hear us here a little bit. We had something cut off for us last minute. I'm showing that we are showing up on the radio, so if I just have someone just kind of text me and let me know if we're doing that. You can also reach us online on email, which is Hebrew Nation. No, the number 3, wiseguys@hebrewnation.net. Okay, so it's a fantastic way to get a hold of us. We have a new phone number that you can call in with us at. Rick, do you remember what
that
is?
Yes, it's 503-589-1220.
Yep, and we're airing live, so you know that's where we're at, and you can call right in and talk to us at 503-589-1220. Yeah, it's a new one.
Yes.
And we
put it in your favorites in your phone.
It's a new phone of hope.
Well, I hope people get it.
Yeah,
listen.
I do hope people get it. You know, it's that's kind of a funny word. Hope.
Hope is a wonderful word.
You think so?
Oh man,
I don't know. I think it's overrated.
When you're
hopeless.
Hopeless?
There's not much hope, is there?
Well, hopeless isn't hope. What are you talking about?
No, it's the opposite of hope.
Yes, well, if you don't think hope is all it's cracked up to be, hopelessness is no problem.
Hope is not all but it's cracked up to be. Hopelessness is no problem.
Yeah.
That's spoken like a true wise guy.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I mean, my word. Hey, so this is, you know, Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Christmas. It's all a season of hope. Right?
Well,
that's kind of a controversial there, but yeah. This is the season to be merry. Fa la 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 la. Really?
Really?
Is it really that?
It is. No, it is. It is one of the most wonderful times of year.
It's the most wonderful time.
Yeah,
of the
it
year.
Is. You know, it's pretty amazing, isn't it?
It is. You know, but we aren't going to necessarily talk about seasons right now, but we are going to talk a little bit about the season of hope. What actually is hope, what it's all cracked up to be? Does hope change your behavior? Does hope allow you to think differently? Does hope get you excited or does it get you worried? I mean, I was talking with Gus here at the break, and we had a president that had run on hope and change.
Yeah.
And that kind
I'm going to provide you with some hope and change. I hope you don't know what that change is.
I never knew you could do that.
No,
what's up with that?
I can't do it.
You Minnesotian? Yeah? Yeah?
Yeah. So, yeah. Oh, boy. Oh. Last week we were talking about angst.
Yes.
What's angst? Angst.
I know.
You know that negative side, the generalized feeling of blah.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I don't think when you have hope, we shouldn't be, I mean, we all get anxious at certain times, but we mm-hmm. shouldn't be as anxious as much than when we didn't have that hope.
Okay.
It only comes from knowing the giver of life, right?
Well, that's a bigger hope, but let's talk about some of the smaller hopes. Like, I hope I could really find a really good fellowship to join up with. I hope my marriage works out. I hope I can get some more money. I hope that my life gets better.
I hope I don't eat too much this holiday.
Yeah. What does hope mean anyway?
It seems kind of fluffy.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
It does seem kind of fluffy. And maybe it's not really a good topic for the wise guys because maybe it's not masculine enough. But maybe.
Wait, are you saying we're masculine?
Yes.
Good.
I'm standing up on masculine today.
We're manly men.
Manly men. And you know, hope, it seems flowery, maybe.
Flowery?
Yeah.
Hope is a wonderful thing.
Well, spoken from the happy guy on the Wise Guy show.
It can be kind of a amorphous, kind of this thing that, well, I hope I don't have a bad day. You were saying it earlier. It just has to be this catch-all, kind of like what we've turned the word good into.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember when Yeshua, Messiah, is talking with the rich guy and and he says, you know, good teacher, good rabbi. And Yeshua stops him in his tracks and says, there's only one that's good. To me, that indicates that the word good, there's something there that's special to that.
Mm.
And we turn it into everything. You know, I had a good hamburger. I slept good. You know, all sorts of things. So maybe we've done that with hope, too. Something that used to have some strong meaning, some, you know, substance to it.
Uh-huh.
And now through the world's ways, it's kind of been flattened.
Kind of watered down, you mean?
Watered down, good word.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Is it fantasytical?
Whoa, what?
Fantasytical?
That's a new word I just came.
I like that. You got to explain it.
Is it a fantasy? Does fantasy stop us from actually moving forward with action? I mean, many times we hope about things. Okay, and we go with that hope and change, or we desire things to change. And so we always say, well, I hope this will occur.
Mm-hmm.
And then by doing that, we quit being actionable. We quit doing something.
Like putting feet to your faith, that type of thing, you mean?
Yeah. Yeah, like always relying on hope, but never really moving away from hope.
So is hope in that perspective dreaming as compared to hoping? Is there a difference in that? Because it almost sounds like you're talking about you're dreaming kind of like this thing in your head that's not really going to come true, but you, quote, hope it will happen someday.
Yeah, I hope I become an author. I hope that I become successful. I hope that I receive a lot of money. I hope that my marriage gets better. And so let's pray about it and let's deal with hope, but no one ever does anything about it. I mean, no one actually puts feet to the fire. So like if your marriage is failing, rather than hoping that it succeeds, what are you actually doing to make the marriage better?
A non-actionable thinking about something. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Hope. I use hope to define hope.
Why don't we define hope first?
Expectation.
Okay.
Expectancy.
Yeah. Yeah, but what, I mean, I think, like, Gus, you were saying before, man, we talk about hope, but, you know, hope is so, you know, we always think about hope in God. We always think about hope in a better life. And everyone talks about regular hope. But how can we quit just hoping and actually start doing? Anyone have a definition for what hope it really means? Anyways, quit playing with your mind.
What do you have? I need this thing to stay still. You drive me crazy. let's just look at, I don't know, Merriam-Webster. The feeling of wanting something to happen and thinking that it could happen. Okay, so that's feeling and thinking.
And wanting.
And wanting.
Feeling, thinking, wanting.
And wanting. And hoping. Okay.
Wait.
What is that word?
That is song. A song.
It is. Yeah. But it's different words.
A feeling.
What's that?
Da-da-da-da-da-da. Someone call in and tell us what the name of that song is.
We hope you remember the number, which is
503-589-1220. Ooh, yeah.
Yes. Said like a manly man. It's also a feeling that something good will happen to be or be true. A feeling again. The chance that something good will happen. Someone or something that may be able to provide help. Someone or something that gives you a reason for hoping.
Oh, man.
A lot of touchy-feely stuff going on there.
But we need hope in order to encourage ourselves. But at the same time, those are all feelings, nothing more than feelings trying to forget my feelings of hope.
Well, you know
what?
We need to pray.
We definitely need to pray. And we need to start looking at some Bible texts. Maybe there were some people that had hope in Bible, and maybe they moved out of hope. And we definitely need to find out the Hebrew meaning of hope, since this is Hebrew Nation Radio.
Yes, it is.
So we should probably do that. But number
let's
one,
pray. Yeah,
pray.
Let's pray. Father in heaven, we just thank you as your people for the only true hope that comes only from knowing you. Only for that blessed assurance, Father, that comes from knowing the giver of life, the one that came, Abba, you, when you sent your perfect son, and he, Father, you laid the life down. Father, they didn't take Yeshua's life, but he laid it down so we can have life and have it more abundantly. Help us, Father. Help us to convey your thoughts. Help us to be strengthened and expectant, Father, of what you want to do in each one of us today. Help us to be your hands and feet to, again, for with the world, the Father, that outside of you has no hope. You are the only true hope. And, Father, we thank you that our eyes have been opened to that blessed hope. And we just love you and we thank you. And may our lights shine today. And may we, as your people, be ready to give an answer for the hope that we have. In Yeshua's name, we thank you and praise you and dedicate this time to you. Amen.
Amen.
Uh-oh. This is going to be good stuff today. I mean, I'm getting excited. First, I was kind of worried about hope.
Well, I never have to worry about hope. Ever.
Is that even a possibility? Do people worry about hope?
Well, I think,
oh, man, I hope I have some hope. No, see, wait, how would that go?
Ew.
Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh. Man, you people need to pick another group to listen to.
Oh.
I mean,
maybe they have.
Hey, things are looking up.
So if you want to talk to us, you can by doing an email. The number 3 wise guys.
At?
HebrewNation.net.
You got it. And you can even call in at us at a brand new number to give us hope.
503-589-1220.
And we're going to get into the substance of hope here. And just in case you think this is kind of a light topic, I think you're going to be in for a surprise as we start looking at things today carefully.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
Right. What do you got there?
But, you know, talking about hope, set apart Yahweh Elohim in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to everyone asking a reason concerning the hope or expectation that is in you.
Mm.
And do this with meekness and fear or gentleness and respect. That is from 1 Peter 3:15, one of my all-time favorites.
Oh, yeah.
I know it is yours as well.
Whoa.
Yes.
It's not yours?
Yeah.
Is that no, 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 or whoa, whoa, whoa?
We need to read that text again a little bit more carefully.
Did you say I read it with careless abandon?
No, I'm just saying that usually the first time we don't get it, we always just kind of – you ever notice that about scripture reading?
Yep.
I mean, I see it all the time. Like I go into the fellowship and you stay to scripture and people's eyes, they just glaze over and they go, oh, you know, another scripture. I know what that means.
Oh.
And it's – you know, but
– are you saying there's more to it than
I think
the
so.
Word?
1 Peter 3 what?
15.
Why do we always like 1 Peter 3? I'm, you know,
it's
first.
A wonderful place.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Instead, exalt the Messiah as master in your lives. Always be prepared to give a defense to everyone who asks you to explain the hope you have.
Okay, so that comes in with an afterthought. Instead. Okay, so that means there must have been a stead before it. Right?
True.
Okay.
True. Here's another version. This is the King Jimmy. But sanctify the Lord your God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you to reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
That's the King James.
By Winston Churchill.
Okay, but let's go back a couple verses on 1 Peter 3. because you're coming in on this thing saying but to or instead of, okay? So if I look back to verse 13, and who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? So he's addressing something about people who bring harm into your life, all right? So he says, well, who is there to harm you if you prove zealous for what is good? But even if you would suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. So if I'm going to suffer, he's saying that I'm going to be blessed. I'm going, really?
He said, even if you suffer.
Right. So how does the world bless me? And I've maybe have lost hope in my faith because, you know, no one likes me anymore. And do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled. Who's they? Well, people who doesn't want to believe in the Messiah. But sanctify the Messiah instead in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you. So there's hope already in us, but he's also asking us to make a defense to people.
You know, I like the way you went with this because many times the B-U-T, the but, is not there. And if you go back to the Greek, it's there.
It's there.
Yeah. So but this isn't an insertion. This is part of the original stuff.
Yes! It's part of the original stuff. You know, so this hope is something that's in us, yet with gentleness and reverence and keep a good conscience so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in the Messiah may be put to shame. So hope is intermixed with an action, a defense, and to give things quietly. Hope is something that's internal.
But we're trying to put people to shame, you know, and shaming's not a good thing. We don't want to shame people.
No, we got.
We all want to get along and hold hands and feel for that change.
Why?
Sing kumbaya.
Why is it so important to have hope? I kind of looked this up. The benefits of hope.
How do you kind of look something up?
Well, I just did it.
Okay.
Having goals is not enough. One has to keep getting closer to those goals amidst all the inevitable twists and turns of life. Hope allows people to approach problems with a mindset and a strategy set suitable to success, thereby increasing the chances they will actually accomplish their goals. So let's look at Peter. What was Peter's goals in his book? To bring other people to the Messiah,
yes.
Right? And in chapter 3, it even talks about bringing your own spouse to Messiah, okay? And others around you. You're supposed to bring people to the Messiah, but what do they do to us? What do they do to this? What does the world do to people that want to bring someone to Messiah? They slander us.
You bet.
They attack.
But
okay?
What does the end of 14 say? Do not be afraid of their threats.
Thank you.
Nor be troubled. See, because in this world there will be tribulation, won't there?
Yeah.
And we're seeing that. And, you know, if you – in our colleges, if you take a stand with a biblical worldview, what's going to happen, Ron?
Well, you're going to be attacked.
Our kids have seen that, haven't they?
Yeah.
They have.
And when you're attacked, what happens to your hope? Because the hope, he says, is internal. So he's bringing their attention back to the hope. And so when I look at the worldview of this, and that's what I was reading you from, was Psychology Today.
You're right.
Okay? Even Psychology Today lines up with Peter. One has to keep getting closer to goals amidst the inevitable twists and turns of life. So a young believer that Paul was talking to, the young body of the Messiah, had twists and turns. People were being burnt at the stake. They're being attacked, and they were losing hope. Hope allows people to approach problems with a mindset to succeed. It is something that's internal. So maybe we should be talking about what's affecting our internal being if we lose hope.
Yeah, we are so fortunate, gentlemen, in this country that there are places in the world right now that if you testify of a hope in Yahweh Yeshua, you could be burned or killed or imprisoned. And we are still so blessed in this nation, aren't we?
Yeah.
That we verbally are attacked and slandered, but we haven't really, most of us haven't been physically attacked for our faith.
Getting darn close.
It's getting closer. We see it's things are lining up. Our worldview is under scrutiny for sure.
Uh-huh.
And it's going to continue. We know it's going to get darker before it gets brighter. But have hope.
Yeah, but
that's what I love.
Have I told you that I teach classes to non-believers? I go out in the world and I teach these classes, and every once in a while I will use a biblical analogy.
Oh, okay? Nice. How do they react to that?
Not good when you first say Bible. I mean, when you say Bible, their arms get crossed, and you see them all of a sudden getting their little walls up.
Do they loosen up a little bit as time goes on?
Well, because I make fun of what they just look like. I mean, dude, I mentioned Bible, and what just happened to you guys?
They all puckered.
Isn't that scary?
Well, that's what they're, yeah.
Well, I'm glad you went there, because I was thinking you guys were sounding an awful lot like, you know, we've got everything's in the Bible and everybody understands it. And there's so many people, more people that don't really, really understand it than do, I think.
Mm-hmm. I think there's another problem. I mean, we're going to get into this further today, but I also looked up, I thought hope and faith were the same. But hope and faith, I'm finding out, I mean, do you think faith and hope are the same?
Well, not the same, but doesn't hope go along with having faith?
Oh. Let's look up
that.
Let's look up a secular point of view. Mm-hmm. Faith is the result of a current belief system shaped by experience.
Okay.
Whereas hope is the product of desiring a future state of affairs.
Mm-hmm. So faith is based on experience?
Faith is because your faith is built by things that happen. Hope is a product of desiring a future state. The two are connected. The best expression of the relationship between faith and hope. One cannot have hope without faith. Do you agree with that or disagree with that? One cannot have hope without faith.
Not total hope. You can have a measure of hope, I guess, if you will. But you won't have total hope unless you have a faith on where you're going. Don't you believe that?
Well, again, we would have to delve into Peter again.
Yes.
Because Peter had to have his faith built, okay, by actions. Abraham had to have his faith built by actions.
Moses. Yes.
But then what hope could still get devastated by something that happened, like your belief system gets knocked, and then therefore you lose hope.
I know. Do you think maybe Joseph, when he was thrown into that pit, his brothers turned him over, sold him? Do you think he felt a little hopeless?
Yeah.
You think?
I think Mavis Wozniacki had.
Hope. What did Mavis say?
Mavis hoped because played the lottery and won.
Mavis, is she the one that got the $1 billion?
No, this is only $758.7 million.
Three quarters of a billion.
Oh, yeah, because the government likes to take a lot of taxes out of those big money pockets.
I think that was before taxes.
Oh, was that before taxes?
Man.
Yeah, so she only came away with, I don't know, $300 million or something.
Only $300 million.
So she placed her hope in something by buying that lotto ticket.
She did. Was that...
So does she now have faith in the lottery system because she experienced winning?
That's what I'm wondering. That's a good question.
Yeah.
But hope in money is pretty good.
Well, but do you ever notice the ones that have lots and lots and lots of it are still trying to get more?
Oh, yeah, but I mean...
If
I don't have any money, I still want money.
I think they are. They says, how much do you need? Well, just a little bit more.
I don't know. I don't know if that's one of those urban legends or if...
No, I
know,
really
if they have it, it just procreates on its own.
Quotes that talk about
money?
These guys. Yeah.
Money procreates?
It does. Money begets money. You saw that in Chronicles and all that in the list of people. And, yeah, you know, manna beget manna. Isn't it in there somewhere?
Manna beget
manna. There's all that begetting going on.
Guy, I would hate to watch money procreating. That would be an embarrassment.
There's people that do that on the internet.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do it.
Shut the door and put do not disturb on there.
Yep. What do they say? Get a hotel room?
Yeah.
No, I think there's an element of truth to that. You know,
okay.
The preponderance of money, whether it's money or let's think about hope, As you get more hope, does your hope grow? As you have more hopelessness, does that tend to snowball?
It can. If you don't change something.
Well, things kind of plug along on their own.
If my goal is to be rich and I keep playing the lottery, then I do have hope. Okay, because
your goal is to be rich and you keep playing the lottery?
Maybe that's a hope thing.
You don't hear as many people talk about when I used to hear it a lot when the lottery thing first hit. Don't hear it nearly as much.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the Wise Guys. And just in case you've been worried about things, just know that we're here for you. And, yeah, there's a little bit of problem at our breaks. And our breaks seem to not carry the music, but we're still here talking with you.
We could sing.
Ooh.
No, that's probably not a good idea.
I know, right?
Yeah.
We're talking about hope today. And, you know, this seems to be kind of an important topic because I know in the midst of a world that seems chaotic, hope is something that can be lost, all right? And hope is seeming to pull up a little different picture for us. We were just reading from 1 Peter 3, and we found out some things that Peter was talking about, hope. And we're going to actually start off reading that text one more time. Then we're going to actually go into some other things like Psalms and some other stories and see if we can look at hope in a different way. We're also used some things, even from Psychology Today and some of those resources, to let us know if the world lines up with our biblical view of hope. So if you want to call in and be part of the discussion, you can do that at
503-589-1220.
You got it. And we'd be glad to have you on with us and to bring you in on part of the conversation. You can also write in to us at the number 3.
WiseGuys.
At
HebrewNation.net. You got it.
Yes.
All right. So let's read 1 Peter again and go back to the verse 13, 14, 15.
Let's start off.
Yeah.
And who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctified in Yahweh Yeshua in your hearts. And always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear.
Stop! Anyone who asks you for a reason... because of the hope that's in you?
For the hope.
So I have to give
a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you.
That means they must have seen something in
me. They're seeing something and say, Ron, what is up with you? Gus, what is going on? I mean, the world's coming apart, and I see
a hope.
A peace, a hope that you have that I need.
And they want you to give
a defense. What's up with you? What's your explanation for that peace, that shalom that,
all right,
that has come over you?
So we should ask our audience out there that's listening on the conversation, what's your defense for hope today?
Call in.
Is it strictly one to say, I just hope that I win a lot of money? I mean, that seems like an empty hope.
Hey, you know what?
I don't know.
I don't know. You know, there's all sorts of things to talk about along that line. I mean, what if everybody won the lottery? Everybody on the planet.
Everybody was rich.
Okay. Everybody's
all
rich.
How does
that change? Yeah. How does everything you want? You got it.
Well,
wow.
Then the housing market goes really up high, and then that means not everyone is rich anymore, and so then we still have poverty.
If everybody had everything, we'd have nothing.
That's deep coming from a wise guy.
Whoa.
I mean, what do you mean if everyone had everything, we would have nothing? Spoken like someone who doesn't know what nothing means. I'm going to challenge you on that, dude. I mean,
spoken like someone who doesn't know what nothing means?
Do you have nothing? Did you ever come from nothing?
Oh, yeah.
You privileged person, you.
Where I lived in the back of my car.
Did you really?
You lived out of your car,
I slept in the back of my car. I had nothing as far as the world was concerned.
And there was no other place to live.
Still had family.
You still have family?
Yeah.
Where did you shower?
You know.
Wherever you could.
Yeah. Friends helped me out.
Nice.
Wow.
I get by with a little help from my friends.
Get by with a little help from my friends. So I get love.
No, yeah, no, I think that, think about it from a worldwide perspective. People say, oh, if I had a lot of money, if I had a house, if I had all this stuff. Well, if everybody has that stuff, where is the value of that stuff?
Well, we would lose value in stuff because everyone had stuff.
And let's just specifically talk about, you know, manna, money. If everybody has all the money they need, the money's worthless.
But it's still...
What's your medium of exchange?
Well, I wouldn't have to exchange
anymore. I'll buy that
anymore.
From you. I don't care. I don't want your money.
But I wouldn't exchange anymore because we all have a nice place to live and we have all the food that we want.
And who's making that food? Because they got all the money they need.
So no one needs to make food anymore.
Well, we don't need to be farmers. We got all the money. That's hard work. Why should I make or do anything?
So somebody's got to grow that food. Somebody's got to do it.
So if we hope for the wrong thing, we put our hope in the wrong thing, we end up in this void, in this nothingness.
Hmm. A lot of stuff to think about. Wow.
Well, I don't know if I want to think about that.
No, I don't want to dwell too
that's
much on
that. That's not a very pleasant thought.
No.
Because
the dark side of hope.
Well, you're taking me down the road that there really does need to be classes of people.
Well, there always has been.
I don't like that thought.
Hey, didn't Yeshua say we'll always have the poor with us?
Yeah, the poor will always be with us. And
we're going to stamp out world hunger. No, you're not. You can try. You should always try. We should have a hope that we could.
But
he says we're going to have that with us.
There's always going to be people hungry.
Until the ultimate hope comes back and changes that picture.
Okay.
So I think we do have different classes of hope as well.
Okay.
Classes of hope. Yeah.
Well, let's look at the benefits of hope. Okay, so because we found out that faith and hope aren't really the same, and we're finding out from Peter that hope, people are going to ask you about the hope, and so you better be ready to defend it, right?
Right.
Which means you might have to know something about Bible, because if your hope's coming from those things you find in the Bible, and they're wanting you to defend your hope, you need to know something that's in Scripture?
Yeah, you got to have maybe eyes towards something beyond this 10, 15, 20, 50, 100 years, maybe 108 years of physical existence on this
ground. Yeah, that's right. You had a relative that lived 107 or
108.
108,
yeah.
108. I don't think I've ever known anybody that knew anybody that lived that long.
And I don't think she knew she lived that long. So maybe it's not worth it. I don't know. He has a plan.
Maybe they were optimists. You know, they actually say hope is related to optimism, kind of like Rick.
Yeah.
Hey, I love having that problem of optimism.
That's a good problem to have.
Oh, if you call that a problem, hey, smite me with it.
Oh, wait, he's way too hopeful and cheerful and positive and
optimistic. No, I really think, you guys, that hope is going to become more and more apparent as it gets darker out there.
Optimists adapt better to negative events. Okay. Which means you are less likely to have a coronary artery bypass, breast cancer, abortion, a bone marrow transplant, and even AIDS. So if you look at the optimist side of the negative event, then you're going to be okay. Optimism is conducive to problem solving. That means if you're faced with something that's really difficult, you know that if you just keep working harder and you say, "Hey, there's got to be something around this corner." You're going to be a better problem solver, and you're going to be able to accept the situation in more reality. Now, hang on tight, guys, because there's a person here in Bible that we're going to bring you up to on this and not just pick on Rick. Optimists don't tend to use denial, while pessimists often attempt to distance themselves from the problem. Optimists don't stick their head in the sand.
No, they can't do that.
They actually go, hey, we better be able to solve this.
Let's face it.
So there are problem solvers. Optimists report more health-promoting behaviors. So they eat better and they exercise more. And optimists are more productive in the workplace. Wow.
Hey, do you, keep going. Do you have more?
85% of U.S. presidential elections were won from an optimistic candidate, not a negative candidate.
There you go. 85%.
Yeah, and so even now we've noticed some things happening is that, you know, when someone comes up and say, hey, we need to be optimistic about this rather than pessimistic, people will vote for you or stand by you. Interesting.
And do you think when little David saw that giant coming against the children of Israel, and do you think he was opting and says, hey, they're coming against Yahweh and our people.
Yeah.
He says, I'm going to take you into my hand that the world may know that there is a God in Israel. See, you think he was opting? Absolutely.
So he came up with a plan.
He just knew that his God rescued him from the lion and from the bear,
uh-huh,
and that he was going to take this giant Philistine and smite him.
So he was looking forward to something
good. He knew his king would take care of this problem.
So then he had developed faith from prior actions.
Faith. That's right.
And
that's,
so then he moved out in hope.
Just like Joseph, when he went to the pit, and then he went, he was sold, and he went to Potiphar's house, and he unjustly went to prison, and he interpreted their dreams, and you know, Father used all those difficult situations as he brought him up to be second in charge in Egypt. He uses all of our difficulties to grow us.
So then Joseph was sitting there going, well, I know there's got to be something good about this woman accusing me that I raped her, so it's got to be good.
There's something better.
I know there's a silver lining to this, sitting in prison. Oh, happy day. What is with that guy?
Well,
he's smoking.
They both were, you know, they were all, you know, they were saddened because of their dream. The baker and the
candlestick maker,
the baker and the
wine giver, or the cupbearer is what they call it.
Yeah. And they were all disenchanted with their dream, and Joseph, father used Joseph to interpret his dreams, and how step by step he took Joseph up to second in charge. But
step
it didn't come.
Step.
He had to pass a lot of tests, didn't he, prior to going there?
Yeah.
Well, the one guy didn't do too well. Was that the baker or the cupbearer?
Let's see.
That was not good. Bakers always are good, though, so it's got to be the cupbearer. Because I like baked goods. You know, you guys are bringing up something and tying some points together that I think are interesting because you mentioned.
Hey, hang on. We have a caller that's coming in. Let's see if I can pick him up. Hey, good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You are on with the wise guys. Who are we talking to, and what's your question or comment for us?
Been on about for years, and that is, I'm going to use the holiday we're in the middle of.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Had that happened in America now, they would have grumbled about not having enough oil.
Yeah.
Or put it off until they had some and never seen the miracle.
Or they'd say, listen, we need to get our government to provide the oil for us.
Oh, don't get me even started. but here's the point. I'm going to relate it back to when I was a kid. I remember coming back from my grandparents in the back of my dad's old Rambler. And let's assume that he was going to stop at Dairy Queen on the way back. And then we're being little turds in the back of a car, and he drives home. And we never know that we were out to get ice cream.
Uh-huh.
I think there's a lot of times in this life, that there's ice cream melting in heaven because we were little turds by being disobedient in one way or another, and the blessings that we would have gotten, just we never knew that they were there.
Wow. Well, wait a minute. I'm still hung up on the fact that you were in the back of a car without a safety belt.
Yeah.
I think that was illegal.
How
you can't
you
do
make
it.
That? I'm 56 years old. And I was like four. So
and you lived through it.
I'm a little Rambler, actually. But the point is that, you know, we miss out on blessings all the time.
Yes.
And our hope then, look at the miracles. You know, not Amon, the Damascus general who dipped himself in the Jordan River.
Mm-hmm.
He would, if he had not have been obedient to that simple little thing, he'd have walked away unclean.
That's correct.
If the widow hadn't poured the oil into the borrowed urns, her children would have been sold into slavery and she would have starved.
So it
is a common theme throughout Scripture that when we do a little thing, that opens the door for him to do a big thing. And we tend to forget that in this modern technological age.
Mm.
So then,
but he wants the literal beings, and this is where our hope is. Our hope is that when we do what we're supposed to, he'll take care of us.
So by having hope, that's almost like a window for him to come into our life, is what I'm hearing you say.
Well, and especially when we have obedience, when we're willing, the idea of believe is different in English than it is in Hebrew.
Correct.
The idea to believe has a lot more teeth in it in the Levant than it does here. Now it's like, I believe I'll have a beer instead of wine with supper.
Okay.
But to believe in the ancient times was to let it to change fundamentally what you choose to do because of your belief.
Okay.
And that's why we get confused in our modern English is for all you have to do is believe in Jesus. Well, it doesn't mean the intellectual belief.
Mm-hmm.
It means it's a root of your being. Change what you do because of your belief. And once you do that and you start doing things like light the lamp when you're supposed to, even though you don't have enough oil,
mm-hmm.
then you put yourself in a situation where miracles can happen. And that's where your hope is. He will do the miracles that we need, because we all need them, the miracles that we need, but all he asks is for us to believe him, have to do something.
Yes.
And it's usually something insignificant, like lighting a lamp, pouring oil into a jar, dipping yourself in a dirty river.
So if I have hope in him, and then I walk out in faith through action, then my hope is even built, or it's substantiated. So hope
and
is...
And eventually proven.
And then proven. Which is why this Hanukkah season is important, which I think is what you wanted to bring up. Maccabees, they had hope in something better, but they moved out in faith and action against the Roman armies, and they succeeded.
It was the Greeks, but
yes.
They were the strongest army in the world at the time.
Yes.
So that's like farmers with pitchforks going up against, you know, Delta Force almost.
Yes. 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 Oh, my word.
They should have never won.
Right. Right.
You know, historically, they shouldn't have won. But when they finally did, you know, and I've heard people disparage the story saying that, you know, Antiochus wasn't as bad as they said and that the Maccabean kings were horrible and all kinds of stuff. But the very fact that they survived the war.
Yes.
Enough to claim the temple in the first place is a miracle in itself.
Well, all the way through Scripture, we have battles like this where where the believers in Yahweh should not have won. I mean, the numbers and the science doesn't back them up winning, but since they had hope in a bigger God and they moved out in faith, they still won. I mean, that's just amazing. I
don't
like
how many
it.
Times do you hear that they say Yahweh is going before us?
Yes.
Yahweh will fight for us.
It's obvious if you have, you know, people running from you that should be able to defeat you, that this isn't just you.
Right
oh,
on.
Man.
Right on. Oh, man, I love your call. Thank you for taking the time to call into us. And I just
have a great day. Bless you.
Bless you.
Hey, shalom.
Yeah. So you brought up optimism and you brought up hope. And is there a difference between those two? Because I'm kind of thinking that maybe what we're talking about is the more optimistic aspect of hope.
Let's read a text. Are you ready?
Where are you looking, Ron?
Psalms 88. Okay. Now, this was written by the sons of Korah. And Korah, if you remember, actually was put into a pit.
Was he the rebellious one?
He was the rebellious one, but he had some sons that lived, and they wrote this psalm. Okay, now this psalm is directly related to Joseph's feeling when he was thrown into the pit.
Mm-hmm.
It also is prophetic about Yeshua when he is thrown into the pit of death, all right?
Such a pity.
Yeah, I don't know, right? And it says this. Why don't we have – I'll read the first three. Gus, you read another three. Rick, and okay. So let's go. O Yahweh, the God of my salvation, I've cried out by day and in night before you. Let my prayer come before thee. Incline your ear to my cry, for my soul has had enough troubles, and my life is drawn near to Sheol.
I am counted among those who go down to the pit. I'm like a man without strength. I am set apart with the dead, like the slain who lie in the grave, whom you remember no more, who are cut off from your care.
You have put me in the lowest pit, in the darkest depths.
Let's see. And your wrath lies heavy upon me, and you have afflicted me with all your waves. You have put away my acquaintances far from me, and you have made me an abomination to them. I am shut up, and I can't get out. My eye wastes away because of affliction.
I've called upon thee every day, O Lord. I have spread out my hands to thee. Wilt thou perform wonders for the dead? Will the departed spirits rise and praise thee? Will thy loving kindness be declared in the grave, thy faithfulness in the place of destruction? Will thy wonders be made known in the darkness, and thy righteousness in the land of forgetfulness?
Ah, but I cry to you for help, O Yahweh. In the morning my prayer comes before you. Why, O Yahweh, do you reject me and hide your face from me? From my youth I have been afflicted, and close to death I have suffered your terrors and am in despair.
You got it?
Verse 16?
Yep.
Your fierce wrath has gone over me. Your terrors have cut me off. They came around me all day long like water, engulfed me altogether. Loved one and friend you have put far from me, and my acquaintances into darkness. Wow. So all the people I knew, that would be tough.
This sounds dark. It sounds like
it does.
That I'm in the pit, but he's operating, I think, off of that key word of hope. Would someone of hopelessness say things like this? I mean, must be hope, knowing that there's an answer.
Well, I think probably Joseph, you know, all the tests he was put through, had to feel at times hopeless.
Sure.
But yet, as he passed each and every test, and remember his brothers, they were so guilty, and he says, well, brothers, what you meant for evil, Father meant for good.
You got it.
You know, so he could see the whole picture, you know, because he had those dreams. Do you think the brothers thought about those dreams that he had? You would bow down, all those things. You think Yaakov thought about those dreams? Jacob put it in the back of his mind, what he said, even though he rebuked Joseph when he told him those dreams. So kind of some things to think about and ponder.
Joseph was an optimist. I mean, look,
he was.
In Genesis 39:3, now his master saw the Lord was with him and how the Lord caused all he did to prosper in his hand.
All he did to prosper.
And so this is after he was thrown in the pit, after he was thrown into slavery, mm-hmm. after he was and it still causes him to prosper. The optimist is always looking for outside of the pit something greater.
Popular discourse often takes hope to be synonymous with optimism. So are we saying that hope and optimism are the same?
They go hand in hand,
are you saying they're not?
Well, but while optimism, I'm reading this from the Stanford Encyclopedia of Wonderful Things.
Ooh, Stanford.
Yes.
Stanford.
But while optimism can be usefully analyzed as a desire for an outcome together with a belief that the outcome is more likely than not to happen, many philosophers argue that hope, properly understood, is independent of probability assessments, which is what the optimism is more about. I'm optimistic because of these things. Hope tends to maybe be more towards faith.
However, we find out that hope and faith, though, are different, though, in their actions and their belief system.
So it almost sounds like a progression through there, doesn't it?
I'm getting that, and that's why I loved what the last caller had to say. He was correlating how those things all work together.
Mm-hmm.
How does it work together in our personal lives? Maybe that's what we should be
asking. Well, I think he allows us to go through difficult things, and we've all had them. And I really believe that they're all stepping stones of where he wants to take us, you know, in each one. It's just a little, you know, a little maybe greater difficulty maybe.
Have we – here's a question for you guys. Try this on just before the break. We have a couple minutes, all right? Because we see the decline in people that believe in something. Remember we had read that last week with the angst thing. People were believing less in religion, less in spiritual things, and we're watching churches actually die on the vine. We're actually watching populations stop believing in religious things. And is my question is this. Has spiritual people, or religious people, have they lost the seed of hope?
Some have. All? Absolutely not. There's always, he always has his remnant, doesn't he? Always has his remnant. And always, there's always been a remnant. And you know, and we know to the end. He does say, unless those days were shortened, all of
there wouldn't be anyone
would,
there.
Yeah, they would perish. But he will shorten those days. So he's always going to have his remnant. And Father, just help us be part of that remnant.
Okay, you know? So in the next hour, we're going to ask you to call in and weigh in on this.
Yes, help us.
Have you lost hope? Are you seeing people losing hope? And what can you do to change that? Or maybe you can't. I don't know.
Or maybe you have hope.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep. Maybe you have that hope and you want to share that blessed hope.
Good morning, and welcome back to your Hebrew Nation Morning Show, where Hebrews from all over the world gather to share and listen about the biblical roots of our faith. Sit back with your favorite morning brew and join the conversation. Lines are now open, so call 503-967-3001. 503-967-3001. Hebrew Nation, His Kingdom, His People, and your radio station.
Would you be mine? Would you be mine?
That's a hopeful song.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. A beautiful day in the neighborhood. Would you be mine? It's Rick putting on his sweater, putting on his slippers. I actually forgot to put shoes on today. I have slippers still on my feet. I just
Are
noticed
you
that.
You, no, you're in your slipper boots? 27 degrees out there and you're in your slippers.
Yes, I'm in these little moccasin slippers.
Oh.
I had hope that it would warm up today.
Well,
it's going to warm up.
I hope your feet stay warm.
I know. I really do hope. And I'm looking at them, and I'm looking hard, and I'm going, man, I just hope that you'll stay warm. I hope.
Well, we hope that you're enjoying the conversation on hope this morning with the three wise guys. We're here on Hebrew Nation Radio, the morning show. And, we've been giving you some quiet time between our conversation just to reflect on hope and maybe not the change, more the hope.
Is that like that blessed assurance?
Oh, blessed assurance.
Yeah, blessed assurance. She was mine.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, I know.
That wonderful song.
I love that song.
Come out of you, too. Because it's true.
It is true.
Does it fill you with hope?
You bet it does.
Absolutely.
We don't want anyone to give up on us today. You are going to hear some quiet time over the breaks. If you're listening right now, please understand that we're having some technical difficulties on the breaks, but that just gives you some time.
I prefer to think of that in a more hopeful manner. And this
Which is
Yahweh giving everyone a time to have some quiet, reflective moments.
Yes,
usually
it's
filled with noise and stuff going on all the time.
Wow, I do like that. You are an optimist.
I have hope.
But I want to know more about your story. You had started to talk a little bit about it, and I had teased you a little bit that you were talking about hope.
Yeah.
Well, you know, people hope that they win the lottery, and they hope that life changes, and they hope that they get money. And you were bringing this up, like if we all had money, you know, things might not be as well as we think. And you had said that you had no hope at a time, or maybe you had nothing. But you still had hope. And you were talking about how you were in the back of a car and that you had nothing around you and no finances, no...
Is the hope that we have in our faith, in what we right now can't sense with our five senses, most of us, in Yahweh, in Yeshua Yahweh, is that hope way, way more real than the hope that we have in tangible things that are right in front of us?
That's a good question, because
I
think this is what we need to get to today. Have we lost hope as a group of believers because we've put our hope in tangible things and not necessarily in the greater kingdom?
Yeah, and that leads back to a question we've asked before. Do we really believe in eternity? Are we living like there is an eternity? Because if we aren't, do we really believe it? Do we really have that hope? Which, I mean, isn't that ultimately hope, to spend our eternity with
our
Father?
Yeah, in the kingdom, yes.
Well, I think that's what Peter was talking about. Because remember, I just love that text. Who is the one that brought up that text?
Us.
Oh, no, we all do.
Yeah.
We all do.
But man, that's like, man,
Pete and repeat. Let's go back to it.
Yeah.
1 Peter 3:15.
We can't do enough of this because Peter seems to understand this correlation between doing, believing, hoping.
Mr. Do It. I mean, Peter was like right out there, like blah. Okay, I'm getting out in the water. Whoops. I'll never deny you. He was a pretty bold guy.
Oh, right? He was.
A guy of action. But he was also a guy of hope.
He was.
So that's okay. We try, we fail, but we continue to keep our eyes up.
Amen. Amen.
So read it again. 1 Peter 3 is where we're at. You guys got it?
Got it.
Okay. 13. Ready? Oh, what do you got?
Oh, I'm just... 1 Peter 3:15 is where I'm at.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I'm going to start off with 13. And he who will harm you if you become followers what is good, but even if you should suffer the righteousness for righteousness' sake, you are blessed. And do not be afraid of their threats, nor be troubled, but sanctify Yahweh Elohim in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in us. See, that's why it's so important to know his word and be able to, you know, hey, it's all him for the reason we have that peace that the Bible talks about, the peace that passes all understanding. Can you really put it in the words, that shalom, that peace that we have?
Oh,
it's really difficult to put in words, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
But it is a blessed hope that comes from having that blessed peace.
You know.
Go for it.
You know. All right. So.
See, the more we read this, the more thought comes.
Yes, oh, I know. Exactly. And that's why this journey is so much fun when we go through this kind of stuff. Turn to Joshua 2:18.
Joshua 2:18.
Yep. Yehoshua 2:18.
Read it.
And I'm going to start at 17. And the men said to her, see if you can guess who her is and who the men are, we are released from this oath of yours, which you have made us swear, unless when you come into the land, you bind this line of scarlet cord in the window through which you will let us down, and unless you bring your father and your mother and your brothers and all your father's household to your own home.
Ooh, Rahab.
Rahab. Why would we bring why? Where's the connection point here?
That thread giveth hope.
Yes.
That thread, that line, very interesting, is the word line is the Strong's 8615. Know what that word is?
What is the word?
Tikva.
Which
means cord or hatikva, hope.
Wow.
Throw us a line.
I was just guessing.
Throw us a lifeline.
Okay. Oh, dude. Oh.
Oh.
Stop it.
That's what we got to use. I was talking. And there's a lot of people that use his word as a club instead of a lifeline.
Mm-hmm.
His word is a lifeline, isn't it?
Yeah. Does that fill you with hope?
That expels me with blessed hope and excitement.
We need little things. You know, hey.
Yeah.
One of my favorite movies. One of my favorite movies of all time.
And you watch movies?
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Is Braveheart.
Ooh.
Really? Isn't that kind of a bloody thing?
William, that was kind of an intense.
William
I didn't
Wallace.
Like that last part.
Yeah, but notice that England was trying to stomp out the hope within Scotland. Okay? And so they would take men's wives on the wedding day.
Oh, brutal.
Come in and rape them. Okay?
And
there was all kinds of things going on to stop hope. And even after Wallace, okay, we even have another king, the Scot, that actually brought them back together again. But they kept trying to knock out hope. People who want to stop, well, look at what happened on the Holocaust. Wouldn't your hope be taken away if you're seeing millions die?
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of them, I think their faith abandoned them because they said no loving God
would allow this.
So he can't be there.
It would
because
stop
this
hope.
Wouldn't happen.
Yeah.
You know, that's, boy.
Perspective.
That is, if yeah, perspective. If, that's a good word.
If I am Hasatan, if I'm Satan, or if I'm the bad guy, and I want the good guy to diminish.
Snidely whiplash.
I would knock mm-hmm. out hope.
Mm-hmm.
I would do my best to take away hope. And so what I'm coming to realize with this little cord thing that you put out there
yeah.
of hope, man, if we are losing hope in churches and religiosity and spirituality, what's it going to take for us to revive hope again? How does hope get revived? Because
we got to grab a hold of the line.
Yeah. Yes, you
we
got to
realize
the line.
That there is a line. We got to know where that line goes, and we got to grab a hold of it.
And nobody can help you with that. You got to grab it yourself.
Yeah, like we talked about, I think it was last week, where Jacob Yaakov wrestled, and that word wrestled in the Hebrew, I didn't find it anywhere else in Scripture except specific to him in that instance, which to me points to we each have a personal wrestling with faith, with Yahweh, with hope, with how's this all come together? What's it all about, Alfie?
Alfie?
What is that? I don't know if I've seen that one.
Alfie? Who's Alfie?
What's it all about, Alfie?
That's a song.
Oh, that.
It's in a movie.
Yeah, that's right. I'm trying to remember that, but
don't go any farther with that.
Okay.
Alfie's gone.
It was just a random thing.
Okay, so let me challenge you with that a little bit.
Good.
Okay. We always think about being by yourself, but yet Peter talks to people in numbers,
mm-hmm.
in groups, and Joshua talks to people in groups.
Sure.
Okay? And we all and when I look at the movie of William Wallace and Braveheart, he had to revive people in groups
uh-huh.
in order to make a change.
Okay.
Okay? David had to show hope by himself, yes. And faith in walking out to defeat the giant, but yet he affected a group.
Sure. And did everybody there say, well, Roland, Rick, because of you believe that way, that's the way I'm going to believe, because that's where I put my hope and how you guys believe.
No.
But I'm saying it usually takes others to inspire hope. And when people, I think that when we're by ourselves, we are open having our hope challenged or defeated because there's no one else around us to inspire more help or to courage.
I don't know.
I think that's why we need each other so bad. You know, it says don't forsake the gathering of the saints. We need one another, especially when you're going through the fire. And we all go through the fire different times, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
And that's when we need to, it says, to encourage each other with these words that he is, you know, all this. And when you have that blessed hope, I really think do you think it becomes contagious maybe? Can it become contagious?
Oh, yeah. And I don't think the two are diametrically opposed. Well, you can't be alone and have hope. You have to be in a group. Well, you have to.
Joseph was by himself.
Oh, there's definitely benefits. And Scripture points that out over and over again.
Yeah.
But it's a personal walk. I can't have faith because you do. I'm just going to use yours. I got to have a personal
have
relationship, faith, understanding, hope.
Yeah, but what I see from that, and I think this is one of the direct reasons why churches are dying, fellowships are dying, and people within groups are dying, is because everyone takes on, I got it right. No one else has.
Right.
It's only my personal journey. Therefore, I'm not going to be involved. I'm not going to be involved in another group or an outreach or in faith walking. I mean, what would have happened to the early church if everyone would have believed that? What would have happened to the apostles if the apostles would have said, hey, you know what? This is just about me, and it's just about my own faith walk, and I'm not going to help anyone else.
It would have died out.
It would have died out.
It would have died out.
Really? It would have? Yahweh couldn't have figured it out. He couldn't have made it happen. We had.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay. Try it on. Coming out of Egypt, if that's the case,
uh-huh.
why wouldn't if he said, hey, Moses, you're fine here doing the sheep thing. I don't want you to go pull out millions of people.
Because that's not the way it went. It went the way it was because that's the way it was supposed to have gone.
Yeah. People.
But you, when you pray, go into your room and having shut the door, pray.
Yeah,
there's the
yeah.
aspect of the personal we can't throw out with the fellowship side. Both are important.
Yeah.
Right? And I know we're saying the same thing.
Yeah,
but it's
of course.
Kind of chew on it, isn't it?
Yeah, because I have this passion for people not to be so isolated.
Mm-hmm.
I think isolation actually causes a loss of hope because they don't hear anyone else's story.
Mm.
I think when you're involved with other people, you get to hear other people's story. Like I didn't know about your car story today.
I didn't either.
It was a Land Cruiser. It wasn't a car.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, it was a car. It was a vehicle. Yeah,
but
it was
I didn't know
right,
about
right.
it.
Yeah.
And so since we're here in a group of three, I got to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a blessing.
So think about the isolation that in prison times, or excuse me, in times of war, prisoners were put in isolation, right? Drove them crazy.
Yeah.
Because they lose hope, because they aren't connected with other. He made us to be in relationship.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if we are in prison by ourselves, we still have a lifeline.
We have that lifeline, that relationship.
That makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
I really believe if you have that lifeline, you won't go crazy.
Yeah.
Because you have. I really believe the king will come and fill that void. I really do, somehow, some way.
Okay, so we need someone to call in and be part of the conversation.
Yes.
And how do you do that?
503-589-1220.
You call. You pick up the phone. You dial it. You get to talk with us. You get to talk to other people.
People
and
need to hear
the conversation. Yeah, don't be intimidated. By them. We're not intimidating.
They
God.
Need to hear you. Your heart. They really do.
And you can even write in if you have something longer to say. Maybe you're too embarrassed to call in. And what have we done for them there?
Okay. Oh, we've allowed them to email in. It's such a blessing for us to when you do this. The number three, wiseguys@HebrewNation.net.
Mm-hmm. I was looking for something here that I wanted to share with you guys.
You know, while you're looking,
it's
really cool to, and that's a fluffy word too. It's impactful to hear your passion for fellowship. I think that's
yes.
Where is this thing? I know it's in Colossians.
What story are you looking at?
Well, there's something about Colossians. Okay. You were instructed.
Is this the fellowship thing you're going
to? No, it has to do that we, you know, to share with one another.
Share.
Okay, here it is. I was in the wrong chapter. Duh. Colossians 3. All right. Verse 12. And so, as those of you who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has complaint against anyone, just as Yahweh forgave you, so also you should also. And beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Jesus, Messiah, rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Wow.
Yeah. Be thankful.
I just love this whole thing because he's asking people to work together as a body, not just as an arm or a finger.
As a body.
As a body.
Not just one little part, but as a whole body.
And it says, let the word of him dwell within you, all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness to your hearts.
Amen. Singing. Yes.
I mean, there's got to be something about that. You know what I mean? I mean, I don't know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is that it's so easy for a person to become discouraged and say,
it is.
You know what? I just don't want to go speak to anyone. You know what? I'm going to hide out. And I think there is a good time for hiding out. Daniel had his prayer closet. Joseph had his time in the pit where he got to be in his own personal closet.
And David had to hide out from Saul. Remember, and Saul was in pursuit of him.
Uh-huh.
In fact, he cut the hem of his garment and he could have taken it. He says, this is your chance, Brother David. He says, I'm not going to take out Yahweh's anointed.
But eventually, they come out of their pit. Eventually, they come out of
the
closet.
That's the key. What happens?
Now, what do you do?
Now you start to.
I mean, even Yeshua had to leave the multitude and go hide out for a little while to pray.
Him and his father.
But it's always just for a short time. And then he came back to the body.
Yeah, he didn't stay there with his father by himself, isolated, but he came back with the brethren. Yeah.
I guess why I'm talking about this is because I think hope is inspired through others, and by you telling your story, you can give others hope.
Yes.
I think that's why I'm sharing that.
No, I think that's so true.
I don't know.
Maybe. That's why we need you.
Call in.
503-589-1220.
I'm looking at the little thing here, and there should be little light.
Should be lighting up. It's just not happening.
Well, let's hope that it does.
Because I want to hit the button. I actually want to make this fun today and get more practice in.
Yes.
Yeah.
So give Roland some practice. Call in, please.
What else you guys got when it comes to hope?
Well, I'm still chewing on this aspect of where hope lies and how much we need fellowship. What if there's somebody, there's got to be somebody that hasn't had fellowship because of what other people have done to them are restricted, prisoned, whatever.
Bad experiences. Usually it's a bad experience, the reason somebody doesn't want to.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, so what about the monks? Not, hey, we're the monkeys, but the monks.
Hey, we're the monkeys.
Hey, we're the
monks.
We're
living up
That's
here
where it started. Yeah. But we can't say anything about it because we vowed silence. So if they're silent, there's no stories. They're just going about their monthly existence.
It would be tough. That would be very difficult.
They're working on their own personal salvation. What good are they? They're up there in the hills. Have they
isolated?
Are they helping? Now, active monks work. Those that come down off the mountain and feed the poor and be involved. That's
even if they
feeding
don't
the
talk,
body.
That's a different story.
That'd be harder.
That would be harder. But, I mean, if it's a monk in the mountain, what good's the monk?
A monk in the mountain. Sounds like a book title. Maybe a movie. You like movies. Yeah, what good are they? I think that's the point. We need to be able to rub up against people at some point, right?
No doubt.
I would think so.
Hope. So maybe it's monk for a moment. You go in for a little
monk for a moment.
A momentary monk. Where you need to be in that prayer closet for a while.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, Yah says, time to get out and answer that phone.
Well, it's like the analogy of the Dead Sea, right?
Yeah.
All water coming in, nothing going out.
Mm. Hey, we have a call in.
Good.
Hang on. Hey, good.
Pick that call.
Good morning. Welcome to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys. Who's calling in and what's your question or comment for us?
This is Eunice. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, Eunice.
Good morning. I have a question.
Uh-oh.
If I know about your hope, when to call in, and I respond to that and become an answer to that hope, then am I following in Yahweh's path?
You know, explain that a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because we are going off of this thing in 1 Peter 3. And Peter tells us that we are to give a defense of our hope to, if others see hope in us and they ask us, we should be able to give a response.
Right. And the right answer to every question is, it depends.
Yeah. I know, right?
That is a diplomatic, safe answer and true.
Pull up our adult diapers.
Yeah. I've pretty much standing in agreement with everything that you have said. You're doing such a good job. That's why nobody needs to call in.
Oh, yes, they do.
Yeah, we need you guys.
Oh, yes, we do. Hey, so explain your question just a little bit more.
Okay. Well, you know, it didn't come to me until the last time you said, please call in. We're hoping to hear from you or however you said that. And I thought, so when we know of someone's hope and there's something that we can do to help facilitate that hope, should we or should we just wait for Yahweh to bring it about?
No, I think we need to act. I think it's Bill Jobs' 2 to 4 second rule. You got 2 to 4 second rule, or 2 to 4 seconds, in his opinion, to act on those divine appointments and provide that item.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, I hope I can get a ride to congregation this week.
Mm-hmm.
Eunice, yes, but what if you don't make the call to anyone? See, hope without action, I think, fails.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if someone's hoping for a ride to congregation, they need to call a few people and find out who's available to help.
Yeah. Let me. Okay, hold on. We have a minute before a break. Hope is a commonly used to mean a wish. It's the strength in the strength of the person's desire. But in biblical hope, it's the confident expectation of what God has promised and his strength and his faithfulness.
Oh, can I get an amen on that one?
So basically, did Moses hope the river would part so they could escape? Yes. What did he do? He put his rod in there on the expectation of God opening up that river. So many times, hope is moving to action.
It's an expectancy.
Okay, we're going to – hey, Eunice, if you want to hang on, do so, but we're coming up to our break, okay? And we might lose you, so we're just going to let you know that. But does this help you at all?
Yeah. I think it's good for everyone to hear the response. That was good.
Well, we appreciate the question.
All right. Yes. Bless you guys.
All right. Bless you. Thank you for calling.
Right. Yeah. Love you.
You too.
Yeah. So we're going to go into our quiet time here for another few minutes. We'll come back and do a hey, hey, hey on our own because we won't have the music. We've decided, well, Yahweh's decided. Someone decided that we don't have all that noise in between these segments.
I feel like I'm in third grade. It's quiet time. Pull out your blankies. Get beside your desk.
Mm.
Yeah. Take your nap. Uh-oh. We're not quite there. We aren't really in quiet time. I had a teacher by the name of Mrs. Price. And Mrs. Price was my third grade teacher.
Okay.
And she would come in and say, hey, you know, you guys have been too rowdy too long. It's nap time. Mm-hmm. And I want it perfectly quiet. With the on-air stuff at the moment on the break, so it's kind of dead until we get the exact time of knowing when we're back on.
Yeah.
Hey, ready?
I'm with me,
here we go. Hey, hang on tight. Hey.
We're back again in a syncopated mash fashion.
a syncopated mashin.
It's like a mashup.
It's a mashup. Hey, well, good morning. Welcome back to the Hebrew Nation Morning Show. You're on with the wise guys, and we do have a call-in number that you can call in with us. It's at 503-589-1220. And we have a caller on the line right now. Hey, so good morning to you. Who's on the line with us, and what's your question or comment for us?
Hi, it's Mary. I was just saying how perfect the timing was. You said quiet, and it went totally quiet. You said the word quiet.
Yes, we've been having some troubles on the break. You know, but hey, we're back on and we're ready to go and we can handle you. So, Mary, what's your question or comment for us?
I was more interested in recently discovering that faith and trust are more similar than I'd ever thought. You know, that was kind of a shock to me.
Faith and trust.
Faith, you can actually, yeah. Faith and trust are very much. Same, and I guess hope is tied in too.
Yeah, we've had a couple callers coming in and saying that many times it's hard to walk out in faith unless you've established your hope, which is if my hope is not on something greater than me, it's hard for me to walk out in faith. What do you think of that?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you can't put your faith much in anything nowadays because there's so many lies every which way you look.
So Mary, that's exactly right. Because of all that stuff, we have lost faith. Does that in turn lose hope? See, when there's so many lies around us and there's so many ugliness around us, do you find your hope being attacked? Mm-hmm. Because if we lose our heart, if we lose the very things that we hope in, then Satan's destroyed us. So where's your hope? Do you have an answer for that?
Got to be in the one who can't lie.
Right.
Amen.
The one that lies all the time, and you never know it at the time. It's very disheartening.
It is.
See how much lying is going on. It really.
So
I guess people grow up with it, and they think nothing of it.
Correct. You know, but we were reading First Peter 3 today. And imagine Peter talking to the early believers, and they were watching all their friends being burned at the stake, being eaten up at the gladiator events. Do you think their hope was challenged? And I think from Peter, he's saying, yes, it is challenged, but you have to give defense for it. You can't lose hope even in the midst of everything that's ugly around you. And so I think that's why we talk to each other. That's why we listen to each other's stories. That's why we uplift one another. That's why we wrestle with God. That's why we do all these things, I think, hopefully, to keep hope. What do you guys think?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
We both think yep.
Well, yeah, there's a saying, you can live without a lot of things, but you can't live without hope. And when you see how the suicide rate is and everything, it really makes sense that people are losing hope.
Yeah. So the question for you, Mary, what are you doing to establish your hope?
Finding truth. And you're right, we got to find a fellowship because, I mean, keeping Shabbat by yourself isn't exactly what he had in mind.
You know? I think so.
That's my problem because I don't have a car.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mary.
I lived on Christmas Eve, and it was my fault. I shouldn't have been going to anything Christmas. I knew better, but...
Is there anyone that you're able to reach out to drive you to a fellowship?
Now that I moved, I don't know, but I'll check on it. Well, I do listen on the radio, too.
Good for you.
That's just where I was headed. You know, we're in this connected world from an electronic standpoint. Hey, let's use it to our benefit as much as we can until we can connect up physically.
Yeah. Yeah. Use it.
Fellowship-wise.
But keep looking for someone to put your arms around, okay?
Yes.
Great job. Thank you.
Hey, thanks.
Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Love you. Hey, do you guys feel that faith is the surrendering of reason?
Surrendering of reason.
I'm thinking trust, faith, and that hit led me down a trail.
I see that. From Stanford?
No, it's not.
It's from Minnesota.
No. We aren't going to divulge where it's from. Is it? By having faith, is it just by necessity, the definition, getting rid of reason?
I think
no.
I think reason's based in faith.
Is it? So we got trust, hope. We've been throwing these words around, considering them. Trust, hope, optimism, faith. How do those all mesh together? How do they – you know, it's kind of like, okay, when you walk across a crosswalk on a road, do you have – trust that the other drivers will follow the rules and not run you over? They're going to stop at the stoplight. They're going to yield for pedestrians? Or is that a hope? Or do you have faith that they're going to do it? Or is it all of them?
Okay, so now I have to ask, is there a false hope with a real hope?
Explain that.
Well, because if I believe in hope, you will not get hit by a car, Gus, and I want you to cross this traffic, this lane that everyone's going at 65 miles an hour, and it's super crowded. But I have hope in God that you will not be touched.
Or is that trust, and I hope that you're right. And maybe I've got my faith in the wrong place if I'm trusting you at all.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Your faith could be in a false hope. False hope could be a false... Yeah.
So I think we use those interchangeably when maybe they aren't, but it's a pretty heady thing to try to decipher when ultimately it's pretty stinking simple. You know, it's kind of like this. It's an Indiana Jones movie, and the plane's flying, and the hero's running down below, and there's a rope hanging from the plane, and the bad guys are chasing after our hero who's running after the rope that's tied to the plane.
All he has to do is grab it.
And here comes the cliff. It's like he's got – and at the last minute, he leaps and misses a rope.
Oh.
Movie over. No, he grabs the rope and he hangs on to it, right? Don't we have to hang on to that lifeline that Yahweh's throwing each and every one of us in a personal way and then share that amongst ourselves?
Yep.
Touché.
Yep. Okay, you had brought up Rahab.
Yeah.
Okay, in case you're new to the Bible out there, Rahab is a person that was in the city of Jericho.
She was a prostitute.
She was a prostitute, but she gave cover to the Israeli spies who came in, and she kept them from harm's danger. And then she said to them, "Hey, remember me when you guys come back to destroy the city, and I'm going to put out this cord of hope."
Right, the scarlet line of tikva.
Of tikva, and I hope you don't mess with my family, okay? We want to live. And they said that they'd honor that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if she really believed that.
She believed it. She trusted it. And, you know, she broke Torah in the process. Do you realize that?
She had to lie, right?
When
she was hiding the spies.
No, they didn't lie.
She broke Torah and was blessed because of it.
That ain't a lie.
What is it?
Tell me what you think was the lie.
They aren't here. They were there.
They were on the roof.
They're on the roof. The men left. They're gone. That's
okay.
A lie.
Okay. It does not say in Scripture, thou shalt not lie. It says, thou shalt not bear false witness.
False witness against your neighbor, yes.
So I can lie? That's okay?
It's not bearing false witness against my neighbor.
Are you nitpicking or
no,
a false witness
talks specifically about I'm going to go to a court of law and I'm going to tell something that is not true about you.
You're going to slander me.
But according to Scripture, so, I'm to protect life.
Well, that's where I'm going with it ultimately. Although
yeah.
we have a difference of opinion on the whole lying court thing. No, it's the reason that if you want to assume or not assume that she broke Torah there, it was to protect life.
To protect life.
Right. So we get too focused on maybe some of the nitty-gritty details that may be important to some, maybe important to Father. But ultimately, it's about grabbing that lifeline and helping other people realize the cliff's coming and there's a lifeline. You got to grab it just like me.
Yeah. I have to have hope that they might not see it as a lie.
And I can't grab it for you.
That's right.
I can't grab it for you. You have to grab it yourself.
You can try grabbing me by the ankles as
yeah.
I grab that line.
Here, take it, guys. Take it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, lots to think about, huh? So much.
Well, and I think the world around us, the reason we see so much chaos, angst, et cetera, is that because of that loss of hopelessness and their fellowshipping, because they're all in this negative thing
yep.
together, whoever they are.
I think the reason why the world picks on Christians is because they think we're given a false hope. Let me read this to you for a minute.
That's interesting.
A false
yeah.
hope is to tease, is to pick on someone or to give a false hope. There's an old proverb, patience when teased is often transformed into rage, which means if you tease someone a lot, you might get your booty kicked. Okay, so basically, when I'm looking at people outside of the faith, they're saying, well, the Messiah, you can't put your hope in him. He didn't raise from the dead. Or, hey, you can't really hope in a world kingdom that's ruled by Yahweh. I mean, you can't do that. That's a false hope. How dare you do that, people? So we're going to put you down. This is the very reason for Stalinism. This is the very reason for communism, because the world thinks we're given a false hope. But 1 Peter 3 says what?
Be ready to give an answer. Yep.
So they weren't given a false hope. They were saying the Messiah lived, and he covered us. What do you got?
How much would you have to hate someone not to share the inoculation, the solution to death? How much would you have to hate them not to want to share that? Just like if you had the cure to cancer.
Yeah.
I got the cure. I'm going to hold it in.
You got the antidote, and you don't share it.
Yeah,
you have the lifeline, but you don't share it. It's so important. Yes.
Will the love of many grow cold in the end of days?
It says it will. Is it beginning to now? I think it maybe is.
So you're saying that the spies that went into Jericho, knowing that Jericho was going to be destroyed by Yahweh, gave Rahab hope as well, because they said we are greater, and we're greater because we have a greater faith than Jericho.
Mm-hmm. Well, and Rahab saw that, you know, he saw the power of Yahweh in the Israelites. That's why she says, hey, you know, you guys can save me and my family. He says, well, let's make sure you stay in this house then. Have them not, or they'll perish.
Is this why Joseph did so well? Is because Joseph had this greater hope?
He did. And step by step, Father didn't give it all at once. He just took step by step, took him through each difficult
to develop.
Yeah, time to prepare him for when he would have to be thrown in prison for doing the right thing.
Wow.
And, so Father used all those steps of difficulty. And you think we're kind of in the midst of that, too? I think so.
So what do we do to help somebody who's lost hope? And the world thinks we're giving them a false hope.
And then we have a believer that believes in the word, and they come to the word, and then life is awful to them, and they find themselves maybe in a backseat of a car like Gus.
Yes.
Okay, and they lose hope. How do we, maybe you can speak to that, Gus, how do we reestablish hope?
What do you lose hope in?
Mm-hmm.
In humanity around you, in your circumstances, in the world, in money, in career, and other people? That's okay. I mean, that's going to happen because people are going to let us down. Those
right.
circumstances are going to let us down. Yahweh's never going to let us down because we have to believe that there is truly, truly an eternity.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's all for naught.
But if I'm by myself and I pray to God to do something for me, he doesn't do that. He doesn't allow me to win the lottery and I lose my hope in Yahweh. How are you going to help me?
Understand that or help you with money?
With understanding that maybe I put my false hope in something else. How do I become convinced that Yahweh's real? How does that happen?
Have you ever had something happen that maybe hurt or wasn't what you expected, and later you look back and go, oh, wow, that really turned out good after all? How long do we have to wait? If life is but a drop of water in the ocean of eternity, how long do we wait?
Okay, you're speaking like a philosopher.
Man.
But help me out with
some philosophy here that I've been working on.
Yeah, but help me out with my immediate problem. I lose hope, Rick. How are you going to help me if I've lost hope in God and I'm thinking it's a false hope like what the world is telling me? How are you going to help me?
Well, I think.
How do you give a defense?
That you have to share, I think, well.
Share. Keep going
you
on
have
there.
To
there you
share
go.
Your story. I think you have to start how Yahweh, you know, pulled me out of the miry clay when I was hopeless and share your story, and he helped me and he can help you also. And he has a plan for your life. I know you don't understand that right now, but he's not a respecter of persons, and he helped me, so he will help you.
Is there an if with that?
No, he will help you. No if. It's not if he helps you. It may not be. It probably won't be in your time or the way you think he's going to help you, but he will help you. He said, see, the Bible says if you knock,
he'll open.
He'll open. If you seek, you'll find. And, man, do you believe that? I believe that. I've lived it another 63 years. And it's a beautiful thing, and the longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows, because I see his love and his faithfulness and his mercy, and his mercies are new every morning.
If I have hope, but I don't trust him. If I have hope, but I don't believe in him.
Right.
If I have hope, but I don't have faith in him, will he answer?
That's up to him.
Yeah, exactly.
We've interviewed guests on this show before where they did not know God and they did not have faith in God yet, but they fell on their knees and God opened up himself to them. Man.
So then maybe hope can ultimately or does ultimately lead to faith if we start to trust him through time, circumstances, experience, etc.
And usually people reach out to him when things are going great.
Yeah.
It's usually when they're going through the fire and they don't know which way to turn.
Yeah,
at least that's how he worked it with me.
What I'm hearing, though, where this is taking me again is that the hope thing, the Holocaust survivors that made it found themselves without hope if they remained isolated after the event. They only found hope when they started hearing other people's stories again, and when they started to allow love to come back into their life, when they started to allow others to come back in, and they accepted others.
Amen.
And they met as survivor groups. I wonder if we would look at church or fellowship as a survivor group, if it would look different. I mean, what do you think?
Different than what?
I'm better than you group. But more of a survivor group. We all have stories that we're a part of.
Uh-huh.
And if we start loving on each other,
mm-hmm.
you know, but, you know, there's people that need truth and they haven't opened up the word before and they need to hear that. But notice that it's intermixed with stuff, because when I look at the early church, you had apostles and you had teachers. Mm-hmm. They taught. And then you had congregational members, they listened and they shared and they helped. And I think
– and you had the people behind the scenes that were sharing the finances to make it all come together.
To make it all come together.
Yep.
And so you need – I think that enables people to continue with hope. And I, notice that the areas of the world where churches have been destroyed, there's a loss of hope. Until they start back up again and they start an underground church. China is one of the biggest underground churches in the world.
They have to be underground.
Because if they put up a building, it's destroyed by the armies.
Yeah, they'll destroy it.
So they're fine without that building.
And guess what? They're growing. See?
And they're growing.
Father uses difficult times to build his body.
Boy, not even underground, not just underground, but in homes underground where you can't go out and solicit and market and put up signs.
You can't. No.
And growing like crazy.
And growing.
But until then, you need people, that, maybe people that don't know where to go. So I believe that there is a time where you're underground.
That'd be an interesting
thing.
There's,
and then there's a time that you put up a sandwich board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And say, hey, come on in. So we are we go out? I don't know.
Yeah. Come and see. Come and see what Father's doing. You know, just come and see, and let the Holy Spirit do the work.
Yeah, because
all we are to do is be messengers.
Yeah. Buildings are buildings. You know, I've actually talked to that people about that. You know, it's a building. Mm-hmm. Either I'm gonna meet in a church that looks like a building, or I'm in a office building that actually performs like a church.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a building.
Yeah. Whether it's a Grange or wherever you're in. Yeah,
I think it's the like we do with words and concepts and our own understanding. Well, you know, that's not what it means to me. And we start to get into that. I think there's that constant. Where's the line? How are we moving away rather than towards what Yahweh wants by coming up with our own definitions, our own understandings, our own slippery slopes? And I think that's good for all of us to consider at all times, no matter whether we're in a fellowship congregation, a home church, whether we're by ourselves for a while, period of time.
I believe, there is a time sometimes that you just need to take a little, and I get that, but long term, I think you need to get connected somewhere with it, even if it's just a few people.
There was a gentleman. Oh, I totally agree with what you said, because there was a gentleman. We were up at the Christian Renewal Center in Silverton, Oregon here this last weekend for a small family get-together. We call it Little Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And we went into the lodge where the food is, and, you know, they prepare the meals. And this guy came up, and he turns out, we start talking to him. He was from Sierra Leone, came across to the United States years ago. And he was up there for a couple days, 2 or 3 days of personal retreat, just he and the Lord, he and Yahweh. Just one-on-one, and that's why he came up there, is to escape and recenter, he said.
Yeah, I've done that before, but then it gets lonely after a while.
Well, yeah.
You don't want to spend forever. You don't want to spend too many weeks up there.
Gus ought to like this one, because it comes from a software engineer, and I think it starts to wrap up what we're kind of thinking, because we're at that last three-minute wrap-up.
Okay.
In this world, this is a Google person, a software engineer at Google. In this world, hope still remains strong on the list of human needs. It is like a single candle during the night. It gives light for us to continue on and find the way out of darkness. This light of hope burns so strongly in the hearts of some. Hope is all we need to keep on living. It's the foundation to build one's life upon. And we had a caller that called in and said, hey, we're in the middle of Hanukkah.
Mm-hmm.
Hanukkah is about lighting those lights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And reminding us to have hope and not to let that candle die. I mean, if our passion towards what we've learned, like what Paul says, comes under attack, we have to give a response. And that's what I'm learning about hope. It's an action-filled word in order to continue.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly.
What do you guys got? We got a couple minutes.
Well, yeah. But I think it's so important to allow, you know, our fellow man to see in our demeanor how that we are in in our kind acts, and as we say so much, our faith is our action. We will show our faith by what we do, and that's what I am, you know, continuing to learn. And again, I'm as it gets darker out there, I and I know you guys, mm-hmm. and I know you out there are getting, hey, his return, you can see it's mm-hmm. imminent. I mean, things are lining up.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how many years or decades it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, prophecy is being fulfilled, and it's usually slower than we think.
Yeah.
But it's still in progress. He's just not willing that any should perish. That's why he is slow. He is slow to return because he is not willing that any should perish.
I love it.
Yeah.
Gus, what do you think?
Oh, I don't think we've even started to scratch the surface on this one. My hope has to start in Yahweh. There has to be some thread there. Even the smallest of spider webs to be able to grab a hold of, where he's knocking it. You know, he's there. And then trusting that there is truly, if I really believe it, there is truly an eternity, and then letting my life reflect that in love towards others, action towards others.
Or being just joyful. I mean, no one's drawn to a somber, unjoyful person, are they?
Uh-oh, he comes. Oh, no. I don't need any of that.
I want to go hang out with him because he's so down and depressed.
That hope, happy, optimism, joyful, contentment, all that kind of stuff.
Peace.
The fruits of the Spirit.
I like shalom.
Oh, shalom. Amen, brother. Yeah.
Shalom.
Yep.
Speaking of which, we're about ready to cut out. So we want to wish all of you a wonderful shalom on this Hanukkah season.
Yes.
And that you reach out and touch someone. Wrap your arms around them and give them a hug, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Don't be isolated.
Amen. Good words.
What's that song? Shalom, shalom,
shalom, shalom, shalom, shalom. Till I see you again, till I see you again. Shalom,
shalom, shalom.
I love it. You guys are awesome.
All right, everybody. Be blessed. Tune in again next Tuesday, and then tune in each week. We love hearing from you, and I know we haven't been real good at hearing your side of things.
It's gonna get better though, I believe, as time goes.
The number 3,
wiseguys@hebrewnation.net.
You got it, and that's how you get a hold of us. And you're gonna write in and say, hey, we really like that topic, or we would like a different topic, or would you please cover this?
Yeah,
and can we talk about this? You know, it's everyone doesn't want to, but I want to, so let's do it.
Mm-hmm. And that's every Tuesday morning, Pacific, 8 to 10.
8 to 10 Pacific.
On HebrewNationOnline.net.
Yeah, and if you go there, you can look up past recordings. And
you get the podcast.
There's other teachers there, too, that have been doing things. And
Does that phone number radio thing still work?
Should work. Yeah. Do you got it with you?
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah, because it's really important, I think, to share with friends and say, hey, listen up.
605-562-9746. Love you guys.
And remember where your hope comes from, right?
Amen. Amen. Bless you.